This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, 'cause I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, 'cause of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
You know, when I was preparing for this show today, I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about, obviously, and I prayed about it. And I usually bring my own life experiences into the situation because people say, you know, I like it when you read, Sue, and I like it when you read stories and whatnot, but I love it when you, you know, talk from your heart, number one, but also when you bring your own life lessons, journey, stories into it. It just kind of brings me in because we all are on this journey and we all have our story to tell. And I would love to hear from every single one of you. I really, truly would, because we all have a story and we can learn from one another. I've learned that because, you know, if I can learn from somebody else instead of going through those school of hard knocks, man, that's just so great. If somebody can tell me a story and I can get a belief system or I can get a thought process going, it makes it so much easier in this thing called life. So today, the show, what I'm going to be talking about, so if you're just tuning in, is we're going to be talking about advantage. And wouldn't you like to have the advantage for anything that you're going through? If you felt like, you know, you had the answer. Sometimes we don't have the answer and we don't understand what's going on and why it's going on. We just don't understand it. But God does. And sometimes we're going, why God? Why me? Right? So we're going to go into advantage because I'm reading this book called Advantage. And, you know, I run a business, okay? And in my business is growing. Ecola is growing. Thank you, God. It's growing. And with growth comes pain. It just does. It just happens. And so I'm looking for knowledge. I'm looking for how I can be better. Better boss, better leader, just a better person, better Christian. I want to strive for excellence in anything and everything I do. I don't know if that's your goal, but I would hope that it is. That, you know, if we can just be just a tiny bit better than we were yesterday, just a tiny bit, you know, just, you know, these baby steps, you know, we're taking baby steps to be better today than we were yesterday. And I was telling my new assistant that I just received, it's a gift. Her name is Lydia. And I was telling her when I was explaining the show and I was explaining kind of my whole thing is, you know, I really want to be impactful. I love it when I'm impacted by people, but I want to be impactful, meaning that intentionally, I want to make a difference when I touch people. And I don't mean a physical touch, even though those are nice too. We never can get enough hugs. But I just want to make a difference. Make a difference with a smile. Make a difference with, way to go. Make a difference with, you know, I see what you're doing here, and I really want to understand why you're doing it like that. And, you know, did you ever think about maybe doing it like this? If I can help each person that I come in contact with just to be a little bit better or make them feel a little bit better, then I've done something right. I've done something that God would, you know, smile about. We are called to encourage one another and build each other up. Are you doing that? Are you on, what end are you on right now? And you know, it's an influx every minute of every day. I can build somebody up and then need to be built up within like 5 minutes of each other. It happens. You know, it's not this day is I'm on the need end and on this I'm the giving end. It can happen hour by hour or minute by minute. So we just have to be looking for those opportunities and keeping ourselves focused on the big picture. What is the big picture, you ask? Maybe you know the answer. The big picture is to glorify God in all things that we do, right? And we have to know what that is and who He is. And so we need to draw nearer to Him. Are you doing that? I know I'm having to. You know, sometimes I think that I'm okay. And then something happens and I realize I'm really not okay, that I took the wheel, you know, and everything's going great. And then all of a sudden it's not going so great. And He says, come to me first, you know, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. But what do we do sometimes? What do we do? I got this one. No problem. So we're going to talk about advantage. If you're tuning in right now, this is the Sue Freeze Show, and I'm so thankful that you've joined in today. And I just want to say thank you to the San Diegans that are tuning in. We go all the way from San Diego all the way up to San Luis Obispo, just like Ecola does. But also, because of the internet, we can go all over the world, and we are. I just came back from Germany, and there were people that were listening to my show over there. I was like, really? Wow. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. How can I say this? But just, I was floored. I was floored, and I was like, that was really neat, right? So no matter where you are, you can hear this show. How do you do that? Well, you can tune into the radio stations that sponsor and are on, that have my show on, or you also can go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com. You go there and you can get 5 years. Yep, I cannot believe it. Time flies when you're having fun. 5 years of podcasts, and iHeart carries it. It's so exciting to me. I can't even believe it. Who would have thunk? I certainly wouldn't have. And I said thunk. Yes, I did. And it's okay. All right. So we're going to move into this whole scenario. When we were praying, Roland, the producer of this show, he's here, and you know, we always pray before we go on the air because we want to do, we want the words to come from God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in everything we say and do. And so we pray before we do anything, right? That's what we're supposed to do. So we're praying, and all of a sudden this visual thing came over me, and it was what I was explaining to him about. I'm cleaning my drawers and cleaning my house, and I'm really just going through time of reorganization and just trying to get rid of stuff, lots of stuff. And it feels very good, but in the process, kind of like life, in the process, my place looks like a hurricane came in and just took over. And in life, we can be in the middle of so much turmoil and so much whirlwind. And I think of the storms, you know, the stormy days, the storms where the wind's blowing and everything's going crazy and it's gray outside and it can be cold and then maybe rainy. We need the rain. Do your rain dance, okay? We need the rain, especially in California. But after that, after all of that, it's like crazy for a little while. And then all of a sudden, the storm stops and the sun comes up and it warms up and the air is clean and fresh and things are anew. And I'm thinking about that's kind of what is happening right now with just my cleaning out my house. It's like that. In business, it can be like that. We can go through times of turmoil and times where, okay, what's happening here? Don't understand everything. Okay, let's figure out what the problem is, identify the problem, and then what are our possible solutions? In all of that process, and whether I'm going this direction because I'm reading out of a book, because I pulled this book because I needed help in my organization at work. I needed my help. I needed help with organization and leadership at work, getting my organization to be on team with me so that we're going the same direction and we all understand what the task is at hand and what the goal is at the end. And we needed to understand that. But what I say so often is the lessons I learn in the business world, the biblical principles that I take to the workforce, the ministry that I have and that I hold and that I just am so thankful and honored to be part of, the messages or the lessons can be applied to our personal life. So if you're not a leader at the moment, there are still people watching you, so you're leading someone. But if you're not in that position or at least don't realize you are, let's say you're a mother, you're leading. No matter what position you hold right now, no matter what relationships you have, is that there's always time for organization. There's always a need for organization. And I think about my family life. I was thinking about being a mother. And in my home life, it was so much easier for me to deal with things at work because it was more on the thinking end and not the emotional end. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's so much more difficult when there's heart attached, when our emotions are attached, when it's more of a personal need or a personal desire. At work, we want everything to work right. Yeah, and we just think, you know, okay, this is the facts. These are the figures. This is how we can get it done. But if we can apply that whole thought process and we can apply it to our personal life, it works. It works. So don't tune out when I'm talking about business, when I'm talking about leadership, when I'm talking about work. Don't tune out because there's lessons for each and every single one of you that are listening right now. There are lessons to be learned. I said all that to get started in this show, but I felt like I needed to preface it because I need you to understand that there's golden nuggets here no matter what walk you're in right now, what journey you're on. There are things here for each and every one of you. I pray about that when I'm preparing. I'm praying for the message to be God's message. And when you arrive, when you are present, there's something here for you. I love that. You know, there's no such thing as coincidence, except for when God decides to stay anonymous. Any appointment you have, any assignment you have, anything, any person you come in contact with, that's not a coincidence. There's a reason for it. So be intentional. Be intentional in all things. We don't think about breathing, but we need breathing, don't we, to live. We don't think about our heart beating until it stops beating or it has a palpitation or something. And we don't think about our breathing until we can't breathe. You know, we're underwater and we got to get to the top. We have asthma and it feels like there's an elephant on our chest. We don't think about those things. They just happen until there's a problem. And that's when we have to think, oh, okay, is there something I can do to prevent this? Is there knowledge that I can gain that's going to make this journey easier or better? Seek to understand more than to be understood, correct? Yes. A couple of scriptures that go along with what I'm talking about right now. Proverbs 24:3-6. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man or woman is full of strength, and a man or woman of knowledge enhances his might. For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me. And that's kind of what this whole thing is about here. Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. That is the advantage. The advantage is team. We can only do so much on our own. You know, we only have so much resources, right? But if we pull our resources together, we can do so much more. But there's some things that need to be in place before we can make that happen. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I am so blessed to be with you today. I am so blessed to be in this position of teaching. So, the Advantage book. All that to say this. The Advantage. Why organizational health trumps everything else in business. And organization in your family life. I can't tell you how many times, you know, if you have a mother and a father and they're not in agreement, it causes problems. You know, a house divided will not stand. You need to have unity in the ranks. Even in my business, you know, I have a operations manager. It happens to be a male. And it's almost like there's a father-mother thing going on. And they will go to one and they don't get the answer they want. They go to the other. And it's important that we're in unity. And it starts at the top here. We have to think about that. And then it rolls down. So we need to make sure that we're in check and that we understand what the real goal is so that we can be united in our front. And we have to be a team. What does that mean? We'll get into that right now. Are you ready? Are we going to learn something today? Absolutely. You need to come wherever you go, whatever you do, come with expectation. I had someone say that, you know, we shouldn't be expecting anything. I don't agree with that. When you put your foot on the brake pedal, do you not expect it to stop? And if it didn't, what would happen? Okay, so we do need to have expectations. Now, we need to be clear on what they are, and we have to be reasonable about our expectations. We can't expect people to read our minds and to just know what we want, what we need. We have to verbalize it, and we have to choose our times wisely and choose our battles wisely. Somebody needed to hear that. That wasn't part of this plan. It's part of God's plan. Okay, the case for organizational health, what exactly is it? Let me read. The single greatest advantage any company can achieve is organizational health. Yet it is ignored by most leaders, even though it is simple, it's free, and available to anyone who wants it. Okay, are you intrigued? I am. The health of an organization provides the context for strategy, finance, marketing, technology, and everything else that happens within it, which is why it is the single greatest factor determining an organizational success. More than talent, more than knowledge, more than innovation. Okay, and I want you guys that are not in a business setting to understand that your church is an organization, and it has to be business-minded. Why? When you go into the bathroom, you want to have toilet paper in there, don't you? You want to be able to turn the lights on. If it's hot in the sanctuary, you want to be able to turn on air conditioning. All these things are expenses, and anything with expenses is a business. Your marriage. There is a business function in your marriage, your spending habits, where you choose to spend your money, delayed gratification. All these things are part of it. In business, same thing. Before leaders can tap into the power of organizational health, they must humble themselves enough to overcome the three biases that prevent them from embracing it. The sophistication bias. Organizational health is so simple and accessible that many leaders have a hard time seeing it as a real opportunity for meaningful advantage. After all, it doesn't require great intelligence or sophistication, just uncommon levels of discipline, courage, persistence, and common sense. Don't marriages need those things? Think about it. Your marriage needs discipline. It needs courage. It needs persistence. And definitely, in all walks of life, we need common sense, right? We need common sense. Sometimes people just don't have that or they don't utilize it, but we need common sense. The second one is the adrenaline bias. Becoming a healthy organization takes a little time. Unfortunately, many of the leaders I've worked with, this is the writer, suffer from a chronic case of adrenaline addiction, seemingly hooked on the daily rush of activity and firefighting within their organizations. It's as though they're afraid to slow down and deal with issues that are critical but don't seem particularly urgent. I've seen that. I don't know about you. We go for the urgent things, but sometimes it's the non-urgent but priority things that we don't pay attention to. You have to slow down in order to go fast. What? But you do. You have to evaluate things, and that takes slowing down. You have to evaluate things in order to go faster. The quantification bias. The benefits of becoming a healthy organization, as powerful as they are difficult to accurately quantify. Organizational health permeates so many aspects of company that isolating any one variable and measuring its financial impact is almost impossible to do in a precise way. That certainly doesn't mean the impact isn't real, tangible, and massive. It just requires a level of conviction and intuition that many analytical leaders have a hard time accepting. Once organizational health is properly understood and placed into the right context, it will surpass all other disciplines in business as the greatest opportunity for improvement and competitive advantage. Really, it will, really. Understanding organizational health, its core. Organizational health is about integrity, but not in the ethical or moral way that integrity is defined so often today. An organization has integrity, is healthy when it is whole, consistent, and complete. That is, when its management, operations, strategy, and culture fit together and make sense. Those are all different departments, and they all work together to function. Now, I will ask you, is marriage and family, does it need management? Are there operations involved? Who's taking who to the soccer game and who's making dinner and who's doing homework and, you know, we need food on the table and who's going to bring in the bacon and, you know, all those things. It's operations. It's also strategy. What's important to us? What are we trying to accomplish? Is our marriage a ministry? What's our strategy in that? When people watch us, when people watch our children, what are they getting? Do they want part of it? Do they want what we have? That's the question to ask, right? The culture in our marriage, the culture in our family, the culture at work. You know, I always tell everybody at my company at Ecola, I say, I want you to treat every single customer as if it was your mother, and I hope you love your mother. It's really important. And it must be healthy. Okay, so if you're looking at something and we're, for instance, in marriage, believe me, been here, done this, we keep going over the same issue over and over and over again. No resolve, no understanding. We're just trying to drive our point home with new resolution. At work, same problems occurring. Overtime, we have too much overtime. Well, what's the cause of the overtime? What are we doing about it? How can we resolve this issue so we don't have to talk about overtime anymore, right? These things, it's got to be healthy. That means that we can't be quiet. We do have to choose our battles and our time for our battles, right? That's healthy. We have to fight fair, right? We don't have to attack the person. We have to attack the issue. See, I'm reading from a strategic book on business, and I'm applying this to our marriage and our family life. Because all lessons that we can learn, we can do that, can't we? All life lessons, whether it's at home, it's at work. The Lord has something to tell us in everything that we do. Every relationship we have is a chance for us to be better. But do we look at it like that? Are we looking at the person in the mirror? What part are you playing to the success or the failure in your situation? What part are you playing? I want to be part of the solution. How about you? I don't want to be part of the problem. I don't want to be the whiner. I want to be the problem solver. I want to look for the solutions. We have to know what the problem really is, though. And sometimes what someone's saying isn't really it. Are you getting it? Smart versus healthy. Smart organizations are good at those classic fundamentals of business, subjects like strategy, market, finance, technology, which I consider to be decision sciences, right? Those seem pretty simple. But being smart is only half the equation. Yet somehow it occupies almost all the time, energy, and attention of most executives. The other half of the equation, the one that is largely neglected, is about being healthy. Do you want to be healthy? I do. I want my organization to be healthy. I want families to be healthy. I want my family to be healthy. Marriages. You know, I want marriages to be healthy. A good way to recognize health is to look for the signs that indicate an organization has it. These include minimal politics and confusion, high degrees of morale and productivity, and very low turnover among good employees. That's the way you can look to see how you're doing. Two requirements for success. We need smart and we need healthy. On the smart side is strategy, marketing, finance, technology. On the healthy side, minimal politics, minimal confusion, high morale, high productivity, and low turnover. What side gets more attention? I can tell you for me in my business life, the smart side does. And we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Fries, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
If you own or run a small business, here's some straight talk. No hype about how you can save up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on health benefits, business insurance, and HR issues. A company named Simpolicy can provide A to Z services for your employees to save you countless extra hours of work dealing with benefits, workers' comp, human resources, and business insurance. And they can save you money, improving your bottom line by helping with employee management. How much money? Just log on to Simpolicy.com and quickly fill in your employee census. Simpolicy will analyze your info and suggest ways to improve your employee benefits while reducing expenses so you can run your business and let Simpolicy do the drudge work. Find out more at Simpolicy.com. That's SimPolicy.com. Or call 888-980-8150. 888-980-8150. 888-980-8150. Simpolicy. Your small business resource, a sister company to Montage Insurance Solutions.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas. And their new Ecola Heat, using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola. at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for providing us the ability to be on this show and sponsoring us. And listen, if you know somebody or if you're a business and you'd like to sponsor this show, if you want to advertise on this show, if you want to be a guest on this show, I welcome you to do any and all of those above. Contact me by going to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com. There is a section there. You just put your information in there and what you'd like to do. Or if you need prayer requests, you can do that too. I read every single one. I respond. And I just really appreciate that if you'd connect with me on that way. And I will tell you that it's very reasonable, and it would be helpful for me and other listeners that are listening in. And like I said, this show goes from all the way to San Diego, all the way up to San Luis Obispo. There's different stations that syndicate the show. And if you are a listener and you're in San Diego, don't think that you, because of the broad span, that you can't just advertise or sponsor in one area. You can. So just contact with me and let's open dialogue, okay? And then we can do that. On the brief break, Roland, the producer, engineer, the guy that's been with me since the very inception of this show, and so he's such a supporter, and I just really appreciate all he does for us and for me. He's very supportive, and I don't know. You can't say enough. He's just wonderful. Anyway, at the break, he said that he was thinking about what I was talking about, and something came to him, and I said, you know, that's so good. Why don't you just share it? And so, Roland, please share what you shared with me on the break.
Sure, thanks. What Sue was talking about, if you missed it at the beginning in the first segment, she was talking about how we have to invest in our businesses, which is no different than our churches, is no different than our marriages and relationships we have. And the immediate thing I thought of was the man that sat at the well, next to the well, known as Beautiful. And the disciples just asked him a very straight question, do you want to be well? And that is a question that I pose to myself, and I pose it to you, because do you really want to be well in your situation? Or do you expect the other side to change? We can't expect that unless we are that change. We have to change the scenario. If we want things to be better in our marriages, invest in your marriage. Do you want your business to be better? You need to invest in your business. But the bottom line is that you must do your part and invest.
And that can be time, and it can be money, resources, whatever it is. But you need to pay attention and be intentional and realize that you want, your desire is you want better. You right. want things to be healed. You want to be well. So make that decision first. Decide, do you like it the way it is? Do you like where your life is right now? Do you like what's happening? If not, you do have something to do or say about it, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I was sharing with Sue also about the importance of a couple praying together. There was something I was just dealing with over the weekend, and I just asked my wife, Claudia, I said, hun, I need you to pray with me. Not just pray for me, but pray with me. And we spent some time in prayer, and it was amazing the peace I had afterwards for that. And I couldn't stop thanking my wife throughout the day. I was like, Claudia, thank you for praying for me, alongside me in that. And it meant so much to me. I don't have enough words. I don't have words to really describe it.
Right. Well, you did. And you expressed it to me when I first came in, too. I mean, you're still touched by that. And, you know, words and heart and thoughts are just so important, and I don't think we spend enough time. And you know, he says, come to me. And it says, where two or more are gathered, I am there, right? So if that's true, then, you know, praying with somebody is very healthy, and it can really, in marriage, to have husband and wives praying together and even bringing the children in and praying as a family, what is more beautiful than that? A family that prays together stays together. I saw that on a billboard, and I just so believe in that. Mm-hmm. I so believe in that. And I don't know. I don't think you can pray enough. I don't think we can get enough hugs. I just don't think so. Right. So thank you so much for sharing both of those things, Roland. That's really great.
Sure.
I mentioned at the very beginning of the show that I have a new assistant. Her name is Lydia, and Veronica was my assistant. She's just she was so wonderful, and I just love her so much. But she found, she thinks, the man of her dreams and the man that she's supposed to spend the rest of her life with. And she had to move to San Diego so that she can continue on that relationship journey. And you know, it's in God's hands. And so she found me an assistant while I was gone in Germany, and it's really wonderful. Well, today I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't have enough time to prepare for this show and whatnot. And she came and she goes, you know, I have something for you, Sue. And so I looked at what she had and I was like, wow, that's so good. Because, you know, no matter where you are, health, we need to be able to forgive people. And this was a lesson that I learned a long time ago. And I thought I had done that. But it doesn't mean forgetting what's happened. It doesn't mean that. It really doesn't. It just means to forgive. And so she handed me these two pieces of paper and I'm going to bring it in, and it does go right along with this. Patience, love, and forgiveness. Love is not how you forget, but how you forgive. Not how you listen, but how you understand. Not what you see, but how you feel. And not how you let go, but how you hold on. We are forgiven. We are given chance. We are given life because of God's great love and amazing grace for us. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. These are all little posters that she put on this page. Life becomes easier when you learn to accept an apology you never got. Isn't that good? Always forgive, but never forget. Learn from your mistakes, but never regret. We can beat ourselves up a lot, can't we? And it doesn't do any good for anyone. She has another page here, and I'm just thinking, okay, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? And I think he wants me to go this direction, so I'm going. So, listeners, this is the direction the Lord just revealed to me I needed to go. So here we go. Patience, love, and forgiveness. Be the one who nurtures and builds. Be the one who has an understanding and a forgiving heart. One who looks for the best in people. Leave people better than you found them. I live on that. That is so true. And in business, if we want a healthy relationship in our business, if we want a team, if we want to build our team, okay, we need to do these things. These are important in everyday life, every relationship we come in contact with. These are the important things. Today is the day to forgive and forget. Let your passion in life be to make a difference in someone's life. You better yourself by knowing that you made someone a better person. The scriptures say in Proverbs 19:11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Don't return bad for bad. That will only hurt yourself. Don't let your past get in the way of your present or future. You will begin to heal when you let go of past hurts. Forgive those who have wronged you and learn to forgive yourself for your mistakes. Don't let the past get in the way of your present or future. You can accomplish forgiveness and much more if you dress yourself with the qualities that we find in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience is in bold. If we follow that dress code, we will only do well to ourselves. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. And the first to forget is the happiest. If we really want to love, we must learn how to forget. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. If God is patient, loving, and forgiving with us, we must try our best to imitate his kindness. Let's make today and from today forward a day worth living for. Every day is a new beginning. Forget about the wrong people have done you and move forward. I'm hearing this. This is for me. Is it for you? Follow God's path and your life will go in the right direction. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Was that for you? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And that ministered to me right there, and I'm hoping that it's ministering to you. I'm getting back into the Advantage book. Most leaders prefer to look for answers where the light is better, where they are more comfortable. And the light is certainly better in the measurable, objective, and data-driven world of organizational intelligence, the smart side of the equation. that it is in the messier, more unpredictable world of organizational health. Studying spreadsheets, charts, financial statements is relatively safe and predictable, which most executives prefer. That's how they've been trained, and that's where they're comfortable. What they usually want to avoid at all costs are subjective conversations that can easily become emotional and awkward. And organizational health is certainly fraught with the potential for subjective and awkward conversations. I just had one of those yesterday. I had my operational manager and operations manager in my car with me, and we were driving somewhere. And I had to have a very an uncomfortable conversation about how I felt that position and he was doing. And it was hard, and it wasn't easy for me, and he could tell that because he can tell I was uncomfortable. So I just basically said, this is not a conversation I'm enjoying. I'm not enjoying this conversation I'm having with you, but it's one I have to say because we get what we tolerate, and I don't want to tolerate this anymore. So it was very difficult, and those are the things that we need to do in order for things to get better. Sometimes we have to have those uncomfortable conversations. There's a book out by Susan Scott called Fierce Conversations, and there is a show that I did, actually more than one show I did, about that book. It was very helpful for me, and it could be helpful for you because, you know, we prolong these conversations because we don't want to have them, and in prolonging them, it just causes the problem to not go away and not get better, and, you know, we're supposed to be seeking to understand, right? Well, we can't do that without having a conversation. But people have to feel that it's comfortable enough for them to have really honest conversations. And sometimes in leadership, in business, even in our personal life, it's difficult to receive what someone needs to tell us. But in that, there is healing, there is power, there is greatness that can happen in that. So allow yourself to be a little uncomfortable, okay? Just allow it. Allow yourself to get into that uncomfortable place and allow honesty in conversation to happen. There is great rewards in it, believe me. I know. Permission to play. I'm back in the book. Being smart, as critical as it is, has become something of a commodity. It is simply permission to play, a minimum standard required for having even a possibility of success. It's certainly not enough to achieve a meaningful, sustainable, competitive advantage over any length of time. This is from the book. It says, I've become absolutely convinced that the seminal difference between successful companies and mediocre or unsuccessful ones has little, if anything, to do with what they know or how smart they are. It has everything to do with how healthy they are. And can't we apply that to our marriage and our family life? Same thing. You know, we can be the best at something and the worst at something, and that worst of something can cause us to go awry. All right, so basically this book right now, it's talking about, you know, smart, the differences between the two items. And what it's saying is we can be strategic and we can have all the numbers and they're right there, but the relationships is where we struggle. So health begets and trumps intelligence. Leaders learn from one another, identify critical issues, and recover quickly from mistakes. Without politics and confusion getting in their way, they cycle through problems and rally around solutions much faster than their dysfunctional and political rivals do. Moreover, they create environments in which employees do the same. So it's not only the leaders that are doing this, but the leaders are training and teaching, you know, everyone that this is a healthy environment. This is a functional team, and we need to be this way. In contrast, smart organizations don't seem to have any greater chance of getting healthier by virtue of their intelligence. In fact, the reverse may actually be true, because leaders who pride themselves on expertise and intelligence often struggle to acknowledge their flaws and learn from peers. You know, I have found that for business, the answers are right there. The people that are on the ground floor, the people that are in the trenches, they have the answers. They have the problems they have the struggles they have, and they have the answers because that's where it's at, is right there. So we need to learn from one another, don't we? They aren't as easily open and transparent with one another, which delays recovery from mistakes. That's certainly not to say that being smart isn't desirable, just that it provides no inherent advantages for becoming healthy. The key ingredient for improvement and success is not access to knowledge or resources. As helpful as those things may be, it's really about the health of the environment. And consider this. If you had to bet on the future of one of two kids, one raised by loving parents in a solid home and the other a product of apathy and dysfunction, you'd always take the former regardless of the resources surrounding them. The same is true in an organization. In almost every situation, it was politics, behavioral misalignment, inconsistency that did them in, meaning a company that didn't make it, leading them to make what seemed, in retrospect, like obvious tactical and strategic mistakes. Most organizations exploit only a fraction of the knowledge, experience, and intellectual capital that is available to them, but the healthy ones tap into almost all of it. I learned this firsthand. People that I had working for me that had a lot of information or their computer password was only theirs and nobody had it, so when they left, we didn't have access to that information. They called it tribal knowledge. In my organization, tribal knowledge. And I'm like, well, what happened? We've always done it the same way. How come it's not being done that way anymore? And when did that change? I didn't even know, you know. In growth, this is the type of things that you find out. And you have to, like, guard against it, right? Well, how do you do that? Okay, well, my assistant left. Okay, the password that she had, nobody knew the password. So all of the emails that she had and all the people that wanted to do something or be somewhere or benefit by, it's in that little black box in that computer thing, but we can't access it because we don't have the password. What? Right? Simple. Simple things, but can cause major havoc. Another reason that organizational health has been overlooked by academia and the media has to do with the difficulty of measuring its impact. The basic components, leadership, teamwork, culture, strategy, meetings, have been a subject of discussion within academia for a long time. The problem is that we've been looking at those elements in isolated, discrete, and theoretical ways instead of as an integrated, practical discipline. It's tempting to downplay this oversight of organizational health by media and academia, and for that matter, leaders. It's just another interesting and unfortunate phenomenon of modern business culture. However, the cost of that oversight is extraordinarily high and cannot be overstated. The financial cost of having an unhealthy organization is undeniable. Wasted resources and time, decreased productivity, increased employee turnover, and customer attrition. The money an organization loses as a result of these problems and the money it has to spend to recover from them is staggering. When leaders of an organization are less than honest with one another, when they put the needs of their departments or their careers ahead of the needs of the greater organization, when they are misaligned, confused, and inconsistent about what is important, they create real anguish for real human beings, and they experience that anguish themselves too. Same thing applies for marriage. Same thing applies to family. Those same things. When we have this type of unhealthy organizations, is the employees eventually come to see work as drudgery. They view success as being unlikely or, even worse, out of their control. This leads to a diminished sense of hope and lower self-esteem, which leaks beyond the walls of the companies or their marriage or the family where they work into their families, where it often contributes to deep personal problems, the effects of which may be felt for years. This is nothing short of a tragedy and completely avoidable. Completely avoidable? Wow. So we have the answers right now of having the advantage of how we can be better in our personal life, our spiritual life, and our work life. No matter where God has planted you or placed you, you need to bloom where you're planted. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. For years, I was having so many struggles. And I realized that no matter what I did, decisions I made, that I was going to take me with me. So no matter what changes that needed to happen, I only could focus on the changes I had something to do with. Okay, I can't change another human being, neither can you. You can't change another human being. You can only work on you. So make sure that your relationship is really close and tight with the Lord. You know, spend time with Him. We were talking about the love languages, Roland and I were, because last week I was talking about love languages. And on my SueFreeze.com, there is a video there where I'm riding a unicycle, which is a whole nother story for another day. But, you know, I can ride a unicycle. And it took a long time to learn how to do that. But this video is talking about 5 love languages while I'm doing this unicycle thing. And the reason the connection there is because my father's love language was gifts, and he gave me the unicycle. And that's where it all started. But gifts is probably my least of my languages, love languages. But it was the one that spoke the largest and the best for my dad. he's gone to be with the Lord, and a whole nother story for another day, but he always bought me really big gifts, and I didn't understand that because all I really wanted him to do was to hold me and to tell me he loved me. And so my language, obviously, you know, is not gifts. I wanted him to spend time with me too, and he didn't do that either. He was too busy working. So with that, I'm saying that, you know, we need to look at the person in the mirror. We need to focus on that. And once we do that, we can only change us. I couldn't change my dad. I couldn't change that he wanted to give me gifts to show his love. I couldn't change that. Okay, but I can understand that, you know, and we need to seek to understand more than to be understood, right? And we need to understand that we need to look at the person in the mirror. Do you like what you're seeing? Do you like who you are? And if you don't, it's okay. And we need to understand that God is our a God of grace, and that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, your Heavenly Father loves you so much that if you ask Him to forgive you, He's going to forgive you. And He will just pour His grace on you. The acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God gave His only begotten Son to carry the sin and the weight for you. And even if you were the only one, if you don't have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, it's not that difficult. And if you don't know what to do, all you need to do is look up, reach up, and ask Him to forgive you. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. You need to acknowledge Him and just ask Him to come into your heart and wash away pain, unforgiveness, you know, give Him all of you, and He will come into your heart. And yes, emotionally, you'll shed tears. The Holy Spirit comes, and when He comes, there is emotion that happens. And it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. This is only the first step, okay? It doesn't stop here, but this is the first step. And if that's you, I'm just embracing this moment with you, and I'm just thanking God that I get to be here with you, that the Lord is working through me to you, and the Holy Spirit is touching you right now. And I'm just so thankful, and thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this person, for your son, your daughter. Just thank you for this moment and this time. Next step, what you need to do after you've done this, you've asked the Lord into your heart and you've just asked Him to just embrace you and that you've acknowledged that you believe. The next step is to let somebody know. Just tell somebody that you've done this, okay? And then if you can get a Bible, if you need a Bible, let me know. You know, you need to get a Bible, get in His Word. Okay? I am so grateful and so thankful. And to all of you out there, be a blessing to someone each and every day. Could you do that? Make your life count for someone else out there. Touch someone each and every day. Be intentional in all that you say, all that you do. Until next week, be a blessing.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.